first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Welcome back to the Frisco Report. I'm here with Joe, guys. The topics today, we're going to talk about Stephen Jones' comments. CBA, what does that mean for Randy Gregory, potentially David Irving? And we're going to go over some mock drafts for you guys. NFL Combine, it started, medicals, all this other good stuff, so we're going to talk about that. But Joe, how you been on this Tuesday?
It's great. You know, it's great. You know, the NFL Combine has begun. You know, they're doing the preliminary work, you know, the measurements, some of the player interviews and that kind of thing. So it's ramping up, man. It's ramping up. I'm ready.
Yeah. 2020 has officially begun, man. So speaking of 2020, let's touch on Stephen Jones's comments. And, you know, he talked about the three main priority free agents that the Dallas Cowboys have: Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Byron Jones. And first, and then what shocked me was, you know, and we've been talking about Dak Prescott for a while, but Stephen Jones hasn't talked to Dak Prescott's camp since September. Were you shocked to hear that?
I'm not, but at the same time, why? You know, what is the deal with being such a long time? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird.
It is weird. You know, maybe, you know, touch base mid-season and say, you know, what's the feel? You know, we offered 33. Y'all turn that down. What's y'all's number now? And statistically, Dak did have a good year, right? So has the number gone up from 33 now that, you know, Dak had that good season statistically? But at the same time, that new CBA can cause a lot of mayhem too. So do you think they're waiting on CBA? I mean, he said Dak and Amari Cooper are our main priorities, but CBA deal can, you know, come up and change some things. So maybe they have a deal with Amari Cooper in place already for both parameters set on new CBA or no CBA, or maybe they don't and they're just taking a chance here and seeing what things go about. Because if this new CBA passes, you can't use two franchise tags on the same team anymore. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so it is. They're almost held ransom by this CBA talks, you know. Now, the thing about it is, since we're in the final year of this CBA that they signed back in, I think, 2011, you know, you do have... It's the one rare year where you do have two tags. You know, I think that's something that the players and owners agreed upon. So here we are, the final year. You get two tags, franchise tag, and you can use, you know, transition tag or exclusive, whatever the hell you want to use. But are the Cowboys getting blindsided by this? Because it almost feels like, you know, they were going to use that as a crutch. Like, all right, you know, we're good. We have two tags. We're good. And then now here we go. The CBA is going to throw a wrench into this. So it's almost like they don't really know where this thing is going to go. So, but it can, you know, if the Cowboys didn't plan accordingly, they are going to mess themselves up, because you do have Dak, you have Amari, but you also have Quinn. Nobody's really talking about Quinn. Is he going to walk? Byron Jones looks like the writing's on the wall. Like we said, nobody's saying anything about really encouraging, you know, whether it's Will McClay or you know, the positional coaches, you know, Stephen Jones, you know, he had a good run. I mean, these are all just, you know, writing's on the wall. It doesn't look like he's coming back. So, you know, we're getting down to it. You know, we're getting down to it. Like,
and
it's crazy.
It is crazy. And just to touch base on what you said about, you know, Byron Jones, what Steven said was Byron's a great guy. We think a lot of. He had a great run at corner. He played really well, played at a high level. The hard thing when you have quite a few good players on your team is you get challenges. You know, when he talks about Dak and Amari Cooper, it's these guys are priority. These guys got to get signed. And, you know, Stephen Jones can easily put three names in that category, which would be Byron Jones, and he doesn't do that. So, you know, if Byron Jones's camp is really stressing 16 per year, Stephen Jones saying, take a hike, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really surprising. I think we're all kind of prepared for it. You know, it's, you know, every team has these kinds of issues, especially the ones that draft, you know, above average. I feel like the Cowboys do draft above average. I don't think we're great at drafting. You know, I think a few drafts ago we thought we were all badass and Will McClay was the you know, the big thing, you know, but these last couple draft classes have not been good. And I don't know if it's because maybe here towards the end, coaches were having a little bit more say-so as far as who they wanted to pick. But the last, you know, definitely the last two were not good. And maybe even 17, you could say wasn't good. You know, Taco Charlton didn't work out. So well, yeah. They got to get back on track. They got to get back on track. And they cannot have another 2019 draft. It was almost reminiscent of the 2009 draft class, you know, where you didn't have a first round pick, you know, and everybody's like, oh, our first round pick was Amari Cooper. No, we didn't have one. We didn't have a first round pick. And history shows that when the Cowboys don't have a first round pick, they struggle in drafting. And that's, yeah, it looks like that's what happened here.
They do. Stephen Jones also went on the record and said, defense is the priority this offseason. And he iterated if it's the draft, free agency, keeping their own players. Do you agree to that? Is defense really that much of a priority, Joe?
For me, it is, because they're still soft in the middle. They didn't do enough to address it. They tried to, but with the cheap stuff, Covington, you know, and these kinds of players, Tristan Hill, not a good pick. They should have gone Thornhill or Rapp or somebody that they messed up there. So they rolled the dice. We know the Cowboys are big risk takers, but they got bitten on this one. And
they did.
Now they're having to, you know, they're having to rally. You know, they're having to rally, because if they don't rally with this draft and this free agency class, it's not going to be a good first year for McCarthy. And then, you know, fans here are expecting excellence. They're expecting getting deep into the playoffs, you know. But like you and I have talked about, this is going to be a soft rebuild. You know, we have a lot of holes. People are going to walk. You know, love or hate Byron Jones, you know, he was always on the field. He was always there. You could count on him to be there. And now we're going into this question on the season is who's going to play opposite Cheeto, you know? So now it's right. Like, now there's a question mark there. The defense is still a big question mark, you know? You know,
it is.
Outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, you have nobody there. The middle is just not good. They have to fix that. I feel like hopefully they can address this in free agency and then, you know, supplement some guys in the draft. I'm hoping that's the way they go.
That's a great point, and I'm with you. I mean, the defense is a priority. I mean, you know, you can kind of fill in, you know, your offense holes in free agency and maybe some draft picks, you know, if they're best player on your board. But defense, I mean, you said all the right things, Joe. The interior, I mean, we get gashed in the run because we have nobody to move anybody to even make a tackle. And, you know, you talked about no one to play, you know, they're going to let Byron walk. And so they have to hit on this draft, because if they don't hit on this draft, it's going to set them back another 3 years. We can't have a Morris Claiborne type corner come in here and not stay healthy. We can't take risks like a Randy Gregory in the second round, who's been suspended 95% of his career. They have to be able to hit in this year's draft if they want to make a run at anything, or they can make a run at the first overall pick in next year's draft if they don't hit on this defense.
Yeah, it's, you're saying everything that a lot of us are saying it to ourselves as well. You know, people having these conversations amongst the fan base, you know, there's a little bit of uneasiness. To say that there isn't wouldn't be truthful. You know, all of us have been talking on the podcast. You and I talk offline, and there's concerns. You know, there's concerns as far as, you know, are they going to be cheap again? You know, I mean, if you're not going to bring back Byron Jones, you are opening up some money there. So use that money, fortify the line, and go to work. You know, and if you want your offense to be so unstoppable that maybe your defense can be kind of average, then do that. But they got to have some kind of strategy coming into this. And the Cowboys, they hold their cards really close to their chest, so we really don't know what's up their sleeve.
Oh, you just said something here real quick. You said, you know, to make your defense average but have a high explosive offense. I think we've seen that in 2014 and 2016, though, and it didn't get us to an NFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to have balance on both sides of the ball, that we can get that sack in the fourth quarter when you need it. We can get that interception in the fourth quarter when you need it. We can dominate with these types of players on special teams to block a punt, block a field goal, run a kick, a punt back, for Christ's sake. When's the last time we've done that? So I think we got to be above average on it. Because in this league, let's say you're playing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Let's say you're playing Aaron Rodgers or the Saints, who has an explosive offense. Yeah, we beat them. Yeah, our defense was really good in 2000 and 2018, but where did it get us?
Yeah, no, that is the truth. You know, that is the truth. So it's really, and we kind of talked about this, like that. It's kind of, you kind of have to have this checklist for what does it take to be a contender. We've talked about this before, and you need playmakers. And does the defense have it?
I can't say they do.
Who really pops off where you can say this guy is a legitimate playmaker? I mean, you can have conversations, you know.
Right.
DeMarcus Lawrence pops, possibly. Jalen Smith at times. You know, he gets the ball, turns it over. But your cornerbacks, they're not doing it. Your safeties aren't doing it. So they need to add some more playmakers. And I feel if you get more beef, you know, maybe an A'shaun Robinson, DJ Reader, if you have the money. But to me, I think he's going to be a Byron Jones type contract. He's going to be asking for some money. Chris Jones, the Chiefs, did they even let him go? If he is free agency, he's going to be sought after. That's going to be a lot of money there. You know, I know fans are like, Chris Jones, we'll get Chris Jones and then we can draft and we're going to be, nah, he's going to be expensive.
Yep.
He's going to be probably a little bit more than what the Cowboys can afford without wrecking themselves in the future, right? So, it's a tightrope. It's a tightrope.
Yeah, you're right. So let's move on to the CBA. We already read the headlines. I'm sure all you guys read the headlines about the vote of 6-2, and they're supposed to have another meeting, and they want to move 17 games and take away a preseason game. Mm-hmm. We get all that. But one thing I want to talk about is technically he's still a Dallas Cowboy player, and I name dropped him just a second ago. But the Cowboys extended him knowing that he was going to be suspended again. His name's Randy Gregory. First of all, before we even talk about he could get reinstated in the new CBA, I want to talk about, can we trust him to put any effort forth? And I don't want to talk about David Irving, because David Irving got really lazy on that football field. But Randy Gregory, he came in, he tried his hardest, he was out of shape, he still played a lot. But do you even trust Randy Gregory to come back and play for this football team?
Well, supposedly the window in this new CBA is 2 weeks of testing, and then that's it. So as long as he doesn't screw up in that two-week window, and even if you do, under the new CBA, a positive test does not equal automatic suspension. So I think to get an actual suspension under this new CBA, you have to be, like, chronically just not giving a you're not giving a crap about it. You know, like, I'm gonna smoke through this 2-week process. I don't care. You know, that kind of thing. So it's up to the player, you know, but I think he could do it. I mean, 2 weeks, you know, I mean, I think it could be done, you know.
Let's talk about what we know about why he smokes marijuana, right? It's for depression. You know, he does face a little, he has mental issues. And when I mean mental issues, I say that in the most upright respect, right? And so that's why he turns to relieve himself from that. So what happens if he has a mental breakdown during that 2-week cycle? I mean, that's where I don't know if I can trust him. And even in those 2 weeks, trust me, I love Randy Gregory. I love what he can bring to this football team, Joe. But at the end of the day, is it going to be a lost cause, lost talent, Rolando McClain 2.0? You know, I mean, can you kind of see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, there's obviously going to be, you know, that side of it. You know, it's, you know, there's a proven track record that he's failed multiple tests, skip tests, which counts as a positive test. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to the player. You know, we can say that 2 weeks is not that much, but like you said, you know, can you trust him? Can he trust himself? You know, anxiety issues, you know, that does fall under mental illness, but it's not really. I think when people think of mental illness, they're thinking about like schizophrenia,
you know, multiple personalities. Depression.
Yeah.
You're
so,
right. Yeah. It's...
What we're talking about is like this, you know, on the surface, a lot of people deal with this. You know, a lot of people have some kind of depression, some kind of anxiety, right? But some people handle it a little bit different. So for Gregory, that's been his escape, you know? So, but the NFL has finally caught up to what a lot of the leagues around, America are. And it's like, they don't want their players to get addicted to the opioids, pills, and that kind of thing. So that's a good step. You know, they see the benefits, the health benefits of marijuana when it comes to recovery. You know, from injuries and soreness and that kind of thing. So it's definitely positive. You know, it's positive for all the players around the league now. we'll see what happens here. You know, this is all still kind of up in the air. The players have to approve this thing. Like, you know, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. But if it does get approved, right, it will help out a lot of players that are good quality players that just can't, you know, stay within the rules are so strict that you can't even get secondhand marijuana smoke pretty much. So
yeah,
it's crazy. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and what sport is where marijuana isn't frowned upon? Is it basketball? Is that where it is?
I don't even think it's basketball. Because when do you ever hear about somebody getting suspended in the NBA for, you know what I mean?
Right. You know, that 2-week window, right? And we're about to change subjects here, but I want to say this point real quick. The 2-week window, right? That's the only time you can't smoke marijuana. But to possess it in a state like Texas, in a state like Oklahoma, or, you know, wherever these players are from, will the arrest amount go up? I mean, we just seen a Browns offensive lineman get caught with like 200 pounds of marijuana trying to cross the border. So, you know, can we see a high arrest rate for NFL players with this kind of CBA deal?
That's going to be something that'll be like a case study. You know, they don't know. Nobody knows, you know, because there are states, obviously, that have recreational use, medical use. Texas, I think they have some medical, but it's like for seizures. It's still very, very strict in Texas. It's very conservative still. And I don't know if that's ever going to – I don't see it changing anytime soon, you know. But, yeah, there's other states that are like Texas, you know, that it's you can still go to jail for it. So we'll see, man. The NFL is – basically going to roll the dice on this and see what happens here.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to some draft talk, Joe.
There we go.
Let's let's go over the mock drafts here from Bucky Brooks, and then we'll look at a mock draft. He has three rounds. We'll look at the mock draft from Chad Reuter. He has a three-round mock draft. So with he has us at 17 picking CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma, Joe. So
yeah,
what do you think about that pick? It is in defense.
Yeah, so CeeDee Lamb, obviously, you know, he's, to me, he's your number one receiver. You know, you can argue it's between him and Jerry Jeudy. You know, if you want, and, you know, they give you different things. You know, I think the more polished route runner is probably Jeudy. CeeDee Lamb is more of your, you know, catch the ball, contested, you know, he'll catch the ball under contested circumstances. He won't get bullied at the line. He will. He's big after the catch. That's another thing about CeeDee Lamb. So, for him to get there to 17, I think would be a miracle. I mean, I don't know, man. It's possible. Anything's possible. You know, every year we talk about no way this person gets there, and then there they are sitting in our lap, and we pass on them for somebody else. So, we'll see what the Cowboys do. But I think Bucky Brooks is under the, you know, he's kind of looking at it as far as, you know, maybe Amari's not going to be there. So wide receiver obviously becomes a big need, you know, and who could fill that need? CeeDee Lamb, you know, fits it really well. But then he also says if they do keep Amari and you still go ahead and draft CeeDee Lamb, I mean, you have a three-headed monster. How do you stop these guys? How do you stop Cooper, Lamb, Gallup? And Cobb, you know, I'm assuming Cobb comes back. You know, that's, even that conversation is not a done deal. So, we'll see. We'll see, man.
Yeah, some talent evaluators have him compared to a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who plays for the Houston Texans. Do you kind of see that comparison? Do you see that comparison?
I love that. I love that comparison because DeAndre Hopkins, he is that. You know, he gets the contested catch. He'll fight for the ball. He'll go get it. He'll catch it with his hands, and he's a terror after the catch. You know, he's gonna come at you. He's gonna run over you. He's gonna try to spin around you. I mean, this guy's just as athletic. I like CeeDee Lamb. I think he's good. You know,
I do too. I don't see any red flags on him. He has ball skills, body control. He has this so many number one wide receiver traits that, you know, if it isn't defense and he's sitting there and let's say we don't keep Amari Cooper, I don't see why we can't take him. Because I'm just, he can help our team. But that's all Bucky Brooks did. He just did a first round draft. So we're going to go into Reuter's pick here. Number 17, Joe Xavier McKinney, safety, Alabama. Now this one is defense. What is your take on that one?
I like McKinney myself. You know, when you're looking at these safeties, I think he, you know, comes from a very good program there with Alabama. They put out a lot of good safeties. I think they're a safety factory. You know, you think about all the safeties that have come out of Alabama. A lot of them are very productive and have had pretty good careers. You know, you rarely ever see one come out that's a bust. So I wouldn't mind, you know, I wouldn't mind McKinney. Obviously safety, we could get better there. Is it a very top need? That's a question I have. Obviously we have players there, but you can get better. You know, we're talking about Heath. I think we've all been trying to get rid of Heath for years. He's not going anywhere, it doesn't look like. Donovan Wilson looked really, really good in the preseason. I think a lot of people forgot about him. He's getting his defensive backs coach here, you know, from A&M. So maybe there's going to be some, maybe that helps him. Maybe he'll feel comfortable with that. And
good call there.
He can keep going with it because he looked good. You know, he just got hurt, and I think that kind of slowed him down. That was unfortunate, but we'll see. We'll see what they do there with safety.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney at 17 on this mock draft. Absolutely love it. Reports came out that Grant Delpit ain't even going to be participating in the combine. That worries me. I don't want a Morris Claiborne type situation to happen if we go with Delpit in there. So this right here, Xavier McKinney, I think that it is a safe pick, number one, and I really think he can help your defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And for Delpit to not participate in these drills is not good, because there's already the conversation as far as his 19 tape versus his 18 tape. You know, it's night and day. 19, you know, people say, you know, he didn't tackle well, but then they go, oh, but it was the ankle. Well, here we go with the excuses. Now, I hate excuses when it comes to evaluating players. An excuse is an excuse to me, all right? So
that's what it is.
I don't like that. I do not like that for a player that I'm going to potentially make my first round pick. The stock is down for him, for me, you know.
It's down for me, too.
Yeah, it just is. I feel that it's hard. I mean, how could it realistically not be? You can't possibly say he's not going to participate. I feel good about this. You know right. What I mean?
No more chances. We just talked about that. The Cowboys have to hit on this draft. And, sure, yeah. A team will take a chance on Delpit. And then, you know, we're going to monitor, oh, man, he's really good. But will the injury bug start to plague him? And that's my concern, and that's why he's dropping on my draft board, Joe.
Yeah, and he is. And if you see other mock drafts that are starting to come out, you're starting to see that trend where even he himself is dropping in the first round. I'm seeing him going towards the end of the first. I even saw somewhere he's going in the second round. So, you know, these kinds of things, they do affect, you know, the draft stock.
It does. Yeah. It does. Second round pick, 51 overall in the second round. My guy, AJ Terrell out of Clemson, Joe. What's your thoughts on this second round pick again? Double dipping
man.
On defense.
Double dipping, man, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys do this in some sort of fashion. You know, I don't know if it'll be back to back like this, but you know, I would expect that they're definitely going to draft a cornerback in this draft. You know, do they draft another safety? Do they draft another cornerback? It's possible. It's quite possible, because I've always said, not only are you drafting for now, but you're drafting for the future to protect yourself. So we have Jordan Lewis in a contract year, Xavier Woods, this is his contract year, and Chido Uzier. So next year could be the secondary apocalypse. They may want to get ready for it. They may want to get ready for it. So I wouldn't doubt it, you know, if they double dip in the secondary, for sure.
If they get, you know, a second-tier corner or something like that, maybe they won't double dip like that. I mean, because the last time they double dipped at corner or any defensive back position was Chido and Jordan Lewis. So it's going to be kind of interesting how Mike McCarthy and their staff view that double dip and stuff, and how they attack free agency. So that's a good point on if they'd rather do it or not do it. 82 overall, third round, Jordan Elliott, defensive tackle. Three defensive players, Joe, on Reuters' mock draft there. So what do you think about Jordan Elliott?
I like him a lot. You know, he's not for everybody. For me, I like what I've seen from him. I think he penetrates really well. He'll get in the backfield. You know, tackles for loss, that's a big thing. That's something that we don't have a lot of. And he'll bring pressure on the quarterback. Definitely, he's more of a three-tech type of player for me. And, you know, I know some people will be like, well, we already have Tristan Hill. I'm like, okay, but... Do you trust that he's going to get better? Is he going to take the hard coaching from Jim Tomsula? Jim Tomsula is not going to baby these guys. So if Tristan Hill couldn't put up with Rod Marinelli, watch out. I don't think he'll be able to handle Tom Sula. I don't know.
You know, I don't know if he will either. You know, Rod Marinelli was a pretty aggressive D-line coach. But I value Jordan Elliott as a three tech also. So that means he'll play right next to like Robert Quinn and stuff like that. So that's where the three tech is, pretty much like a Tyron Crawford, right? But you know, Tristan Hill was 330 coming out of the draft. Jordan Elliott 315, so he's a little bit undersized compared to a Tristan Hill. Jordan Elliott 6'4". Tristan Hill is 6'1". So 315, and he's taller. Jordan Elliott probably has a lot more muscle mass than maybe a Tristan Hill, right?
Yeah.
Just going off the BMI. So, you know, if you look what he does, I mean, he plays with strength. So immediately going off BMI, he's a strong character, right? He's a strong cat. You know, I wouldn't mind a Jordan Elliott coming in, and maybe we can get Tristan Hill out of here, or Tristan Hill can learn from a guy like Jordan Elliott out of Missouri. Missouri, they produce some linemen.
Yeah, they do put a quality NFL-ready type of players. You know, obviously some haven't worked out, but, I mean, that's how it is all over the place, you know. So I think that's tremendous value. If you can get him in the third, I have him as a two guy, but I know it looks like draft-wise he's probably like a 2-3. So I think if you get him in the third, that's tremendous value. So I like that pick. Now, as far as us going, you know, defense and triplicate, I don't see that. I just don't see the Cowboys doing that. I think you got to stay balanced in the draft as well, you know, because the offense still needs some tender loving, you know. It really does. It's not perfect by any means, you know. We need a tight end, you know. McCarthy historically likes to keep the wide receivers coming because he knows that, you know, guys come and go. And that's been his trademark when he was at Green Bay. You know, Greg Jennings left. They had another player in place to come in, Jordy Nelson. When Jordy Nelson left, they had another guy in place, so Davante Adams and so, Randall Cobb. These guys, like, he always had somebody in the barrel ready to go. You know, he was always ready at wide receiver. So I feel that with McCarthy, for sure, I would almost, if there was a bet out there at Vegas, I would put out a bunch of money that we will draft a wide receiver second or third round.
You know, you just brought facts on top of facts about how Mike McCarthy views his wide receiver position, and it don't get any better than that right here on the Frisco Report. Joe, great point, man.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, it's all about research, and that's what we give you guys here. You know, we aren't just making up stuff here. This is all stuff that you can go back and substantiate and verify. So that's McCarthy's MO. He'll want to bring that here because it's not going to be we have two guys, Cooper and Gallup. He wants to keep it aggressive. He's an aggressive play caller, right? So the more weapons, the better. So tight end, that's going to be something to look at. Jarwin, do you trust giving him the keys? I don't. I know he looked good, but it's a small snapshot. Jason Witten still had a majority of the snaps.
So 70%.
So anybody with a small snapshot will look good. And I kind of compare this to whenever Emmitt Smith was here with Troy Hambrick. Hambrick wanted the starting job. Emmitt went to the Cardinals. Hambrick got the job. He was okay. I think he got like 900 yards, right, rushing. But, nah, you can get better. You can get better, you know. That's what, you know. Parcells came in here and drafted Julius Jones and this and that, but you get what I'm saying. So
I do.
If you can get better there at tight end, they're going to do it. You know, I just feel that there's going to be a tight end, another one in the mix, whether it's free agency or drafting one. And there's some good ones in this draft. You know, I don't think previously the Cowboys stuck with this. The guy's got to be 6'6 and this and that. That's always been 6'6. I think now, these new age tight ends, you can be 6'2", 6'4", whatever. If you're a playmaker, McCarthy's going to bring you in here. And that's exciting for me because there's tight ends that, that fit that mold, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, you're spot on, Joe. And, you know, I can't wait to see. Yeah, we're talking about the NFL draft because it's combine week, right? We're excited.
Absolutely.
They get on the field on Thursday here in a couple days. And we're gonna see some combine work. And then right after that, Joe, it's free agency time.
Yeah.
And it's a good time if you're an NFL fanatic. It's a good time to be excited because, you know, this is where the team build to go to that Super Bowl.
It's all about roster building, baby. And the NFL knows what they're doing. I mean, they set all these up. It's all calculated. You know, you have everything, man. It's what makes this league so so much fun. There's always a lot of intrigue, you know. And Combine, they're making it a primetime event now. And it's good, man. It's good. So we just have to hit. We got to hit on these picks.
You got to hit. But, guys, that's all we got today for the Frisco Report, guys. Remember, we drop it like it's hot every Tuesday, guys. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play, guys. So share with a friend. Listen to it when you're picking up the kids from school, going to work. Joe, where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on YouTube, obviously. Cowboys Blog. Just hit me up, Cowboys Blog. Also on Twitter and Instagram, CowboysBlog.net. And hit me up, man. I'll follow you. Hit me up. We can have a conversation about our boys.
Conversation it is, guys. And remember, if you subscribe to Joe on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you get all notifications from his YouTube channel, guys. You can follow me on Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube and on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. Give me a mention. Give me a DM because you already know that's where the conversation starts. Till next Tuesday, peace.
Peace.